Hello, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 3 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of developers at all stages of their journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
What up, Beck? Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How's it going with you?
It is going fantastic. Fantastically? It's going well. Well, I feel like going fantastic is not good, you know, proper grammar, right? Because it's fantastic is an adjective and not an adverb. And so, yeah. But fantastically is a weird sounding word. So anyway, I'm fantastic. Anyway, today's episode features Carmen Coloche, and she is a DevOps engineer, and we had a really great time talking with Carmen. She had a lot of great things to share about her process, like how she got into tech and how she got into DevOps in particular. And I thought she had a really unique perspective on making connections and you know, involving your community and your network in furthering your career goals and furthering your developer journey. And I don't know, it was cool. It was a good conversation.
Yeah, I appreciated that she talked about being an introvert, and I think she mentioned that she might be shy too. And so it was a good example of what happens when you take yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit and how impactful that can be on the rest of your career.
Totally. And not just taking yourself out of your comfort zone, but ways to do that but feel more comfortable doing it, which is sort of, I don't know, a weird thing to say about going out of your comfort zone, you know, but ways to make your, maybe it's just ways to expand your comfort zone. I don't know. But either way, we'll let Carmen do the talking for us, because she did a good job explaining it. And I am not doing a good job explaining it.
No, it was really great to learn from her in this episode and learn a little bit more about what DevOps is, and to, I think, inspire some people who are in the middle of their career journey. We start every episode of the podcast like we start every virtual coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. We hope you enjoy this episode. Today's random check-in question is, if you could have a superpower that only worked while you were sleeping, what would it be? My name is Becca. I am the developer experience lead at OpenSauced from a small town in Ohio. And I think like the superpower, okay, so there's two options here. Like the ability to like really engage with your dreams and remember them, like those become actual worlds. That would be pretty cool. Or having my whole house cleaned while I'm asleep. So that one's not as cool, but definitely practical. And I would appreciate that. So I think I'm going to have to go with my house being cleaned when I woke up.
All right. That's fair. You know, that makes me worry. Like, do you remember, what is that King Arthur Disney movie called? Sword in the Stone? You know, where the wizard, the Merlin starts doing the like, you know, but they get out of control after if he doesn't pay attention to him. That like worries me, you know. You know, like when a Roomba, I don't know, gets into trouble, right?
So is if that you have King something, Arthur, is that in Fantasia?
Or no, both? No, it was, well, maybe both, actually. I'm not sure. I watched Sword in the Stone a lot more than I watched Fantasia, so I'm not going to say it's not in Fantasia, but I'm thinking specifically of Sword and Stone. But anyway, the like non-conscious control over something that is like cleaning things, you know, like could be problematic. But in general, that does sound nice.
My house is pretty messy, so I don't think it would get that worse.
Right. Okay, I'm Dan. I do development. I live in Ohio and in Cleveland, I suppose. And not I suppose, that's where I live. And what? I do development. I think I'm going to go with like Wolverine level, you know, regeneration healing, you know, so you could go to sleep and like anything that's like wrong or broken, you know, gets fixed up while you're sleeping. that was the first thing that popped in my head, and I haven't thought of anything better. So I'm gonna go with the regeneration, you know, healing powers while you're sleeping. Seems nice. Maybe it'd fix up some of my just general aches and stuff too, you know. So I could pop out of bed in the morning. You know, I don't know. Yeah, that's gonna be my answer. And here's our guest, Carmen. Go ahead.
Hi, friends. I'm Carmen. Hello. I'm a DevOps engineer in Portland, Oregon. And Becca, you actually inspired me for my answer because you got me thinking about dreams. And it's like, have either of you watched Rick and Morty? And like,
a little bit.
Scary Terry. Well, Scary Terry is like a reference to Freddy Krueger. But it's not like I'm going to like hurt people in dreams. I just want to be in other people's dreams, you know, and like travel through dreams, I guess, and other people's dreams type of thing. I think that would be cool. Because my sister and I both have very vivid dreams. It'd be cool to actually like be in her dream and make my own choices and not she tells me what I did in her dream, you know, and then it's like, I'm sorry that I did that. Or, you know, I would have done it differently probably.
Yeah, that made me start thinking about like Inception, you know, or where they like design the dreams and are actually like, you know, acting in them and stuff. Some scary possibilities though, if you're able to go in anybody's dreams, you know, and like steal their secrets or whatever, I suppose. I don't know. But I think that'd be cool. Yeah, especially if you could do it with a buddy, you know, be like, hey, let's meet up.
Maybe they have to give you a password, fun. Like a secret handshake in the dream that allows you to be in their dream.
Secret handshake.
That's so funny.
I love it.
I had a very vivid dream this morning, and I was taking a test and my phone kept going off during the exam and I kept having to turn it off. Come to find out, I was actually turning my alarm off on my phone that was trying to wake me up. And I turned off four of them. Luckily, I set like 10 of them. So I was like, dreams are just crazy, huh?
That's funny. Mm-hmm. Your subconscious is, you know, just telling you need some more sleep, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And that I have an exam coming up.
Right.
Well, Carmen, we're really happy to have you here with us today. Thanks for being here. And we always like to get started with your journey into tech. So how did you get from pre-tech Carmen to where you are now?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been listening to the podcast for a bit now. So how did I get to here? Well, it all started in Poland. I was born in Poland, and I grew up in Chicago. Normally, I don't have a Polish accent, but I do have a Chicago accent when I say Chicago, Hatag, or Costco. Other than that, you would have no idea where I'm from. I initially got my degree in psychology. I've always wanted to help people. And, you know, that was my goal, like very early on, that I was going to get my doctorate, I was going to get into psychology. And I got my degree and I realized that's not what I wanted to do. So I decided to, I graduated. I was living in Hawaii at the time. And then I graduated, you know, lived my best life in Hawaii and then decided to travel through Europe for a bit. And then when I got back from Europe, I was just in Colorado, just hanging out in Colorado. And my childhood friend shows up and she's like, let's learn HTML, CSS, and JavaScript just randomly one night. And I was like, sure, why not? Like, what else are we going to do tonight, you know? And it was really cool. It was fun. That's when I decided to move to Seattle with a partner at the time and go to, I researched this one boot camp that I really wanted to do because then I could do the boot camp and work part time at a restaurant or something and then, you know, just not be able to do both. Then 2020 happened, that fun time, and we were in Seattle and that was like ground zero, right? So everything shut down. And I was like, if there was a sign from the universe that I should just do nothing but learn something new or do a career change, it's now. I have the opportunity to do that. I I got into the boot camp that I wanted to, and it was all remote. They did a hybrid between Seattle, Portland, and people that were out of state too. And it was hard. They call it a boot camp for a reason. Like, it's not a joke. It was intense. And you know, you have everything on top of that. You know, you have COVID happening. There was wildfires going around. So the air was toxic with disease and smoke. So it was a tough time. And, you know, towards the end of it, I had no idea how people made money just coding. I'm like, you're going to pay me to code? Like, how does that work? And in this last like Hail Mary attempt to like figure things out, I sent an email to a really good friend of mine now. But so I guess let me back up. The boot camp, they would do like lunch speakers during lunch. And one of them was this fine gentleman named Jonan. In fact, you know Jonan, yeah. He's a developer relations person, great human being, just great person. And I sent him an email. You know, it had been like 5 months since he did the lunch and learn, but I sent him this novel of an email. And I was like, my life is a dumpster fire right now. But it keeps me warm and it gives me light, you know, because I made a bunch of friends. You know, we were all trauma bonded through our boot camp, too, because all we had was each other and we all had to try and figure it out and get jobs from this somehow. And Jonan actually, he replied and he was like, these are really good questions, because I asked a bunch of questions like, how do I make money? What is this? You know, and he responded. He's like, these are great questions to that I feel a lot of other people just starting out in tech would want answers to. And he was like, would you be open to like come on my Twitch stream and ask them? And like then other people can have these answers available to them as well. And I am introverted and very shy. And I was like, can I bring my friends with me? And I brought two of my friends from the boot camp because I figured they also had questions to ask. And, you know, it's always good when you're an introvert and you have an extrovert friend because then it takes the pressure off of you.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. So then we did the stream. It turned into like a weekly thing all of 2020. It was really good because we were all really isolated. You know, you couldn't go outside. And met a lot of people through it, like Nick that goes to Virtual Coffee. It was just a safe space, you know, and that's what Virtual Coffee is as well. But we were more like virtual happy hour because we would have drinks. It was late. It was at night. We would take questions from either the chat or we had questions, obviously, because we were still in boot camp. And it turned into a really wonderful thing that I cherished a lot. It was a good time. And so the boot camp happened. And with this boot camp, they offer an internship. And I got this internship. And my task as an intern was to build a full stack app. And I did. Because, you know, a great poet once said, you know, you only get one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted. One moment, would you capture it or let it slip, right? And I did. I built
that's
it.
That's Chaucer, right?
You know your poetry, huh?
I'm an English major, you know? Don't like to brag about it too much.
I saw the opportunity and I built it. And at the end of my internship, I was in one of their meetings where they were going over their like quarterly goals. And in quarter four, they were looking to hire a junior developer. And I was like, hey, let me help you meet this goal sooner, like right now. Like, how about you just hire me and I'll maintain this app? Because we were about to deploy and everything like that. And they said yes. I'm like, you like me, I like you, like, let's not ruin a good thing. And I got hired as a junior developer there, and it was for a nonprofit, And it was really, really cool work, because the work I was doing was helping people. And that's when I knew, like, this is how I can help people, was like in tech. And especially in 2022, because businesses were closing down, like people were trying to figure out ways to get online to do anything. I was like, this is how I directly can help people. And the first job meant a lot to me, because it also goes like full circle. The friend that, you know, came over that one day and was like, hey, let's do this on a Friday night. Her life was saved. Oh, so the nonprofit is for organ and tissue donation and transplantation and procurement. And that friend, her life was saved by a liver donation when she was a baby. And so it just was like a full circle moment. Like, my first job was, you know, doing something that, you know, that got me to this point. So it was really cool. And yeah. And then the DevOps engineer decided to take an opportunity elsewhere. So the position was open. I was like, hey, you know, I like you, you like me. Like, how about I try the DevOps position, you know, instead of hiring someone else? Like, well, let's see if I could do it. And they, you know, they believed in me. And I stepped up and started doing DevOps for them. And then I got another opportunity offered where I could grow and work with people at a larger scale, work with leadership. So I left that place, and I'm at this place now as the DevOps engineer. And it's really great. It's really cool stuff. So that's kind of it.
That's awesome. What an incredible journey. Before we move on, for our listeners, can you describe what a DevOps engineer is and what they do?
Me? DevOps means everything and nothing. Not nothing, but means something different to everyone and every company, depending on what their needs are. Some people think DevOps should only be there at the very beginning or at the very end, or, you know, but it's a Jedi way. It's a mindset, you know. Overall, I think how I see DevOps is like, you see the whole big picture and then can like zoom into like one specific part, whether it's development, whether it's deployment, you know, all of it together. It kind of just, and it's, you know, those famous words to it on every team. Someone always says, it depends. It depends. So a DevOps engineer, yeah, they're not, you know, I'm not just focused on, you know, front end work, but I can be. If you need me there, I can be there and I can do it. Or if it's back end work, or if it's deploying, or if it's networking, you know. So, yeah, but overall, it's a way of thinking of things. Yeah.
And what kind of interested you in moving in that direction?
Because I feel like I was already doing it as a junior developer, because we were a small team. It was just me and the DevOps engineer. And all that was missing was access to Azure. Then I feel like I was, you know, basically helping, you know, do the work too. And yeah, it's good. It's nice to see the overall picture, because then you can code more mindfully if it's, you know, front end work or back end work, because you see how it can impact things, or how, you know, things have to scale, or yeah. So that's why I moved towards that route.
I think you'd find that in a lot of small teams where people are wearing lots of hats, right? And I've certainly, like, I never considered myself a DevOps engineer, you know, but I've certainly done a lot of things that a DevOps engineer does, right? You know, and so, like, I like your description of, you know, seeing the big picture and sort of having an idea, like a bird's eye view of the whole ecosystem, right, of your app or your company or whatever, because there's lots of pieces that go into it, and that's a cool. I enjoyed your description of that. It's cool.
Thanks.
So in a lot of this journey, you talked about the people who have been a part of that journey. And it seems like you know, developing those relationships and those friendships have been really important in your journey. So just what advice do you have for our listeners out there about building those relationships? And especially like you talked about being an introvert too. So how does that play into it? And how can other people get that energy too?
I think what really helped was having the boot camp I went to be remote. I never did remote school. So like for example, when I got my degree, I think I made two friends in college because I was so shy. But when I did the boot camp and when I got my first job, I had to sign my paperwork in Seattle. But then I drove to Portland because I made so many friends in Portland, and almost everyone in the cohort all met up at a park. And we all, you know, we all just wanted to be friends. And that's why I moved to Portland. And I think it's for introverts, it's easier to make friends, I guess, because remotely or like online, because, you know, you're in your safe space, you know, and if something feels awkward or unsafe, you can just close the window and be like, whoops, power went out. You know, like you have more escape routes, I guess. But joking aside, what was really cool was when I was first starting out, I just started reaching out to people when Twitter was a thing. I don't know if it's still a thing, but I'm not on Twitter anymore. But when I was, like, I would watch like a YouTube tutorial about how to use some NPM package. And I would directly go and message this person and be like, hey, thanks. This tutorial really helped me do this. It's really cool. Like, would you have time to like, you know, jump on a call or talk more about it? And I was so shocked at first how many people were like, yeah, let's do it. Because people just want to nerd out and then talk about the work that they're doing because they're excited and they love what they do. And that's how I made a lot of friends, was just reaching out to people because they want to talk about the things that they're excited about building. And then virtual coffee too. Like, so we with the stream ending in a sense of, you know, everyone, life happened. And you know, everyone found jobs and moved or were on different time zones. So we stopped doing the stream. And then I really leaned on virtual coffee, you know. So, and then same thing, I would just reach out to people and be like, hey, like, do you have time to talk about this? And yeah, I've had a really great experience meeting people that are just very welcoming and kind and want to just build cool stuff together.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's a lot of my journey as well. And I didn't try to come into tech, but like one of the things that brought me here was the great community of people. So I was just kind of like learning a little bit on my own, started tweeting about it. And then people were so positive and like cheering me on. If I had a problem, somebody would want to help. And I was just shocked because I had not experienced that in other ways. And like, I think that it really did help, like, one, that I was online. And so, like, that introverted shyness kind of, it was much easier. But then I was even reflecting on this the other day. I feel like I have overcome a lot of my shyness in the last couple of years because of all of the positive interactions that I've had. And I think it takes, like, one person saying something positive to you to help you, like, move in the direction of, like, getting up the courage to ask somebody for help or sending that email like the one that you sent to Jonan. And I imagine like that experience, was it nerve-wracking for you to send him that email with all of those questions?
Well, was it nerve-wracking? No, because it was like a Hail Mary, because everything kind of was a dumpster fire at the moment. Like I had to move in 3 days across the country and live back with my parents because, like, you know, I was unemployed. And, you know, at that point I was like, we'll see what happens. And if they don't respond, that's fine. But it can't hurt to ask, right? So That's how I felt. It's like if they don't have the bandwidth to reply, then they won't. But it's no harm to just ask. That's how I feel. It's like, you know, you just ask. And if someone has the time and the bandwidth to reply and, you know, and be there to help you, they will. And I feel like the same thing goes like when you're trying to find like a mentor or something. That was another thing that I heard about. It's like, you should get a mentor, like that would help. And it's like, how does one get mentor? You know, how do you find that? Like, it's not like they're, you know, displayed or, but it's just asking. And then if that person does have the time and wants to do it, they will, or they'll say no, and that's okay too. Was that the question? I think I went off on that one.
We're big fans of tangents here at Virtual Coffee Podcast. So I like what you talked about with the mentorship too. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more. You don't have to like share specific details if you don't want to, but about your experience, like finding a mentor and, you know, how that worked.
Yeah. Since I was like on such a small team, I made it like my mission to kind of try and find a way to work with people, not necessarily look for a mentor, but well, once I stepped into like the DevOps position, I was like, I need a mentor. I'm by myself right now, and this is a little daunting. I reached out to some people and just asked if it was, you know, for front end work or something. And I don't know if it was luck or what, but yeah, they were like, yeah, let's set up weekly check-ins. And if you have any questions or anything like that, we can discuss it or work through a problem or things like that. But I think it's just asking. I don't know. It's
yeah, also, yeah. So this was, these were people like you didn't personally know yet?
No.
Are these people you did know? Mm-mm. Yeah, you didn't know. And so it was like kind of a cold call, you know, not cold call, that makes it sound bad, but like, you know, sort of out of the blue-ish sort of thing. And you just asked, hey, I am, you know, doing this stuff. I was wondering if you have time to be a mentor. I'm asking because I really don't like, this is something that I've thought about myself a lot and I've never gotten through actually following through with it. And so I'm always looking for advice as far as like finding a mentor and that kind of thing. So that's why I'm like, I keep asking about it.
Yeah. I think when I was a junior developer, it was, we were doing the stream all the time. And there was one particular developer that showed up every time we did the stream and had great advice to give in the chat and just was like supplemental, like on top of like what we were giving. And I just reached out to them after the stream being like, thank you for giving such great advice and being, you know, so supportive to others. And then I was like, well, gee, that's how I asked there. And then for DevOps, it was through Virtual Coffee, just going to Virtual Coffee and then hearing, you know, when you do the intros and then being like, hey, like I just stepped into DevOps or I have some questions. Or posting in Slack as well with questions, and you know, the people that have the bandwidth will reply, and then I would message them and be like, "Hey, like you know, have some more questions, and do you have time?" Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of things that I just want to make sure that we highlight here because it's said a lot of great things. Like one, if people have the bandwidth, then they'll respond to you. Just it can be nerve-wracking or scary to send somebody a message and ask for mentorship. And sometimes people will respond and sometimes people won't respond. And that's okay. Like, that's not on you, right? That's – they might not have that time or the capability to do that, right? So I think that idea, like, reach out and ask. You – at the very least – they might say, hey, I can give you a little bit of my time. The second thing that I want to highlight, you said you when you reached out to somebody, I think that you said, like, thank you for those answers. Those were really helpful. And so when you're asking someone for something, you know, it's nice to engage in that conversation a little bit first and let them know, like, that you do appreciate what they've given you already. And this has been a really great place. This might be a good place to start, like, more of a relationship or deepen that into some sort of mentorship. And so I think that, like, there are also, you mentioned, like, multiple modes of mentorship. So that might be a one-on-one thing. It might be a conversation with a group of people. It might be Slack messages in a particular channel. Like, all of these things are mentorship. Anything where you're learning and growing, I think, is a form of mentorship. So sometimes it's important to think outside of what the traditional definition of mentorship might be.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Because sometimes it's just having a place to rubber duck. It's like you have a question and then you write it all out, you know, and then you send it and it's like, oh, solved it. Thanks for, you know, being a great mentor. And it was just giving me the space to send this to someone. But yeah, it can take many forms. And yeah, it's I think that was the biggest hurdle, was just to know that, you know, just reach out. And if they don't respond, that's okay. And if they respond negatively, that's not someone that you should interact with, I feel. There's other options out there. So yeah, just making it less daunting to reach out to people that either have good feedback or experience and things that you want to learn or do, because more than likely they want to share it with someone.
Are there any specific conversations that you can remember that really impacted your journey or what you know about DevOps?
I'm still learning so much, constantly learning DevOps things. I don't know. It's been a journey. Like when we were talking about dreams too, it's like right now I was working in Azure previously, and now I'm moving to AWS, and now I'm getting AWS certified. So my dream about taking an exam and my alarm going off is
is
accurate, because I'm in the middle of studying for the DevOps exam for AWS. So it's
wow, that's a lot. How are you balancing all of this with work and being involved in the community?
It's part of work, you know, especially when you find a job that invests in furthering your education, because they know that it's mutual. You learn, you know, and that helps your work. It's setting calendar events, you know, like this is the allotted time I have for coding stuff or stuff in the code. And it's like hard stop. Don't continue down the rabbit hole. And then it's shifting to studying and then learning. Yeah.
Was it their like idea to get the AWS certification and all that stuff? Is it like a requirement or anything? Or is it just like, hey, this might be fun or something? You know, like how did that
suggested?
Highly suggested. Yeah. That
and I was all for it. I love learning and it's really great. And especially, you know, shifting from Azure to AWS, it's similar services. They're just named different things. And mm-hmm. It's knowing the differences in names and their, yeah. So, but the concepts are all the same, how to work in the cloud.
Right. So. How to connect all the pipes together.
Yeah.
Just a whole separate set of acronyms to memorize.
Yeah. Right? So many acronyms. So one of the whiteboards, this is just acronyms.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest struggles, because I don't like get into AWS stuff very often, and so every time I do, I have to like refresh my memory on all of it, because it's like, because they internally refer to everything with their acronyms, you know. And yeah, it can be frustrating if you don't have it all in your brain. So that's cool. So how's study? So what does the exam like? What does that experience look like? Not studying, but more of like, do you know what the exam is going to look like? Is it an hour? I've never done that. So I'd be curious, you know, what does an AWS certification entail?
Oh, yeah. So I'm not sure how long it takes. I know that you can choose to do it remotely. And you need to have your laptop properly set up. And, you know, this is all I've heard. I don't know yet. And you have to do a pretty rigorous process to prove that you're not cheating. And so then people have been telling me to just go do it in a facility in person, because then it's less of a headache to get, like, to prove that, you know, there's no way you can cheat, that, you know, your system is good to take it remotely. But I have not looked into it further. I'm still going through the tutorials to know all the acronyms.
So, yeah, so it is like a sort of traditional, like, one-time test thing, like in school, right?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's, I could see how your subconscious would start to get worried about something like that. I haven't taken a test for a long, long time, so it makes me a little nervous just thinking about it.
Yeah. I knew I was in a dream, though, when, like, this Scantron, like, where you have to, like, shade in the bubble, it was, like, really big. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, this can't be real.
Remember to turn your phone off, I guess, when you take the test, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to circle back a little bit to what we were talking about before with meeting new people and friendship building. Because I think one of the things that I've heard a lot of people say, that, especially people who are learning, I don't have the time to meet new people or to join communities. It's overwhelming, right? I also went to a boot camp. I was working. I had 4 kids. And I was going to boot camp at the time. And it does feel overwhelming. It feels like you can't put one more thing on your plate. And I imagine in a similar circumstance, like what you're working now, you are studying for this exam, it can be overwhelming. So in cases like that, why do you think it is important to still maintain those friendships or nurture those relationships that you've built?
Because that's what friends are for. They're your support system, right? And it's good to know that you're not alone. And that's why I make it, like, I put it in my calendar, virtual coffee, 6 a.m. Tuesdays. You know, it's something that I strive to make, because it's, you know, I could be lost in AWS world, and I feel like, or nothing is working in the code, and, you know, you feel very isolated. And then, you know, you have a community to go to and be like, hey, I've been down this rabbit hole too. It's like, you're not alone. And there is someone that can, you know, either whether just to listen or to, you know, it's good to have if you can in some way or another, whether it's going to an actual, like, meetup virtually or in person, or staying active on a Slack channel or Discord. I was invited to a lot of Discord channels, and that got overwhelming. I was like, I can't do this. I can't be active on all of these Discords. But I found that was good. Or Hacktoberfest too. That's also a really fun way to meet people and to directly work on things and help each other out and bond over, you know, a PR or learn something together. That was another thing that I thought was really daunting at first when I first started off, was contributing to, like, open source. I thought that was extremely daunting because you don't know them. And I was working on a small team. So the whole pull request and everything like that wasn't as refined as some open sources are. And that was another thing a friend and I did, was we wanted to stream maintaining an open source project on Hacktoberfest and humanizing what a PR is, that it's not personal, it's not a judgment on your code or anything like that. It's, you know, the person, the maintainer, learning what you wrote and then offering suggestions, and then the author learning something new maybe from that suggestion. So that was another thing that I thought was neat to do with friends.
That sounds awesome. Are those videos still up somewhere or are they gone?
I don't know. I don't think so because I think it depends. I could check, but Twitch doesn't keep videos after a while, and I think it's been 2 years since we did that. Really wanted to continue doing that, but, you know, life happens, and it's, you know, especially in streaming is, you know, a whole other world in general because you have to make sure the stuff works and the sound is heard and the music is heard and you both, no, you're both nodding.
I was literally last, I decided to live stream you this week. A couple of days ago, I was really struggling to like focus. I was really tired and I was like, well, I'll live stream and it'll make me accountable. Like I'll feel accountable. And then like my sound wasn't working. My video wasn't working. I'm like, this is not why I decided to live stream. So then I was navigating those problems live. But yep. It's okay. Like I did end up getting that. I merged in my own PR. That's just the way that I do things these days. This morning, so
you're not alone. Like literally, that was us every stream. Our sound never worked. We would go live with no sound, not know until someone in the chat would tell us that they can't hear us, and that's what we knew. We'd have a good stream. So you're not alone. But streaming is a whole other beast. And I commend anyone that does it and maintains it.
Yeah, it can be.
Oh, go ahead, Becca.
No, you.
I was just going to say, have you been doing any streaming lately? Any code-related stuff?
Oh, no. It would be so fun to get back into it. My friends and I, we talk about it. The friends that I did streaming with, we're such good friends now. I'm even in one of their weddings. Like, it's been really cool. But it's... No. Life happens. I moved and started a new job and someone else moved to Europe and we're on a 12-hour difference and it's been hard to stream. Maybe one day it would be cool to do again. Yeah.
It can be hard to even if you're just doing it by yourself, it can be really hard to keep anything like that up, you know, especially when you have other people involved. Yeah. Life happens. It can be tough.
Yeah, I think it's important to prioritize those things that are working for you too, right? And like, I think sometimes when it starts to feel like that extra thing is a drag and you don't want to do it anymore, or, you know, it's just like overwhelming to think about it, then that's probably like the time to let it go for a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's how I felt about, the first time I did Hacktoberfest when we were trying to stream it, maintain an open source, do all the things. And it's like, this is supposed to be fun. If it's getting stressful, let's stop because it's supposed to be for fun. It's supposed to be to help people and educate people. But if it's starting to turn into a stressor, then it's know your limits and boundaries and be kind to yourself because something's going to suffer in it.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of a tangent, but like taking a personal inventory is something that we've talked about in the last couple of months at Virtual Coffee, just to kind of see where you are, like what your needs are, what your strengths and weaknesses are, but also to kind of identify those types of things. You know, if you're feeling overwhelmed by, is this, you might have needed that thing 3 months ago and it might have been really good for you in that moment, or like that community that you're a part of that was really great for you last year, but it's not so great for you this year. And like recognizing that, like, hey, we change and we grow as people and we have different needs all the time, figuring out like what is helping me to accomplish the things that I need to be doing every single day is really important, but also like sometimes really hard to identify if you don't stop for a second and really think about like what is enriching my life right now, what is helping me be the person that I want to be, rather than like this was helping me 3 months ago, it should still be helping me now, and then trying to power through it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so I guess maybe one way that we can start to wrap things up here is talking about that introverted experience and what advice you have for individuals who are feeling really nervous about coming into tech and interviewing for their first or second job? Because I think that, you know, being an introvert makes it maybe a little bit harder to interview for that job and to be able to find those connections. So do you have any advice for how to approach that in a way that doesn't seem overwhelming?
Gosh, it's hard for me to answer this one because both of my like interviews in tech have been very non-traditional because first one was an internship and it was just like, I like you, you like me, let's be a happy DevOps family type of thing. And then the second job was actually through a friend I made in Virtual Coffee. So both of them were very non-traditional because they were like, I know that you know the things because you talk about them in Virtual Coffee. So I don't need to interview you technically about the things. And it's like, I want to work with you. So I guess that's one way to go about it is make friends. And then friends want to work with friends because you get along, you know. You know how each other tick, kind of. So it's like you know how to approach each other. So I guess that's one way of going about it.
I think that's really great advice, right? Like making those connections can help ease that interview process for sure. And that's been all of my jobs in tech too, I think. And it didn't start with meeting people. It started with tweeting about it and then writing about it and then talking about it in different ways. And so maybe like there's a place where you feel kind of comfortable or you don't feel as uncomfortable or as exhausted from those interactions. And you can still have a community and you can still meet people if you're blogging about it or if you're writing about it or if you post a YouTube video. You don't have to have that face-to-face interaction, but I do think that it's easier to have that face-to-face interaction once you've engaged with people on other platforms.
Yeah, definitely. And also, you're interviewing them. Like, do you want to work with this person? So I guess it goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Carmen, thanks so much for being here with us today and sharing your story. We really appreciate this. I think that it's going to be helpful to a lot of people who are going through some struggles now and have in the past and feeling like they're not alone in that experience. So thanks so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carmen. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harald-Weigel and edited by Ashley Mulder. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, sign up for the newsletter, buy some VC merch, and check out all of our other resources on our website, virtualcoffee.io. If you're interested in sponsoring Virtual Coffee, you can find out more information on our website at virtualcoffee.io/sponsorship. Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.